Good morning, church. Today we're reading from Romans 12, verses 1 to 18. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. A living sacrifice. I appeal to you before your brothers, my mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual worship. Do not conform to this world, but to transform by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is God, acceptable and perfect. The gifts of grace. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measures of faith that God has assigned. For as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another brotherly, affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all.
Let's pray together before we start. Lord God, we want to thank you so much, Lord, that you call us into your family through Jesus. And I want to pray, Lord, as living sacrifices, that you would find us, Lord, ready and willing to engage with this world that you love, Lord, and share your love and your message, Lord, this good news with those around us. And I just pray that you would, Lord, take and use what I've prepared. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, and Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be together. And I'm hoping and praying that what's made sense at home is going to make sense here this morning. Well, we'll see how we go. I'm sure you're praying that as well. All right. Today I wanted to explore what it looks like to have the call of God on your life, especially in regard to, what the call of God looks like on the life of a living sacrifice. And Romans 12 sets this up really well for us, dives straight into the theme of living sacrifices and also the gifts that God gives us. As I was preparing for this morning, I thought and prayed a lot about the call of God in our life, and this morning I just wanted to focus on a few different types of calls that we might encounter. For starters, if you've decided to follow Jesus and you're looking for a specific call on your life, well, you're in luck, because there's a pretty big instruction manual right here, and that's instruction to all followers of Jesus. We'll get into a few specifics very soon, by no way exhaustive. But if you're anything like me and you grew up reading some missionary biographies or looking up some true stories of the way that God has used Christians in the past, then you might have reacted the same way as me. And like the idea of an individual call to a specific nation, a location, a people group, it's really exciting and also a little bit terrifying. And reading the accounts of the way that God has used available people has always been inspiring to me, especially when it's one of those unexpected calls where on paper it may not make a whole lot of sense, but to God the puzzle pieces fit in perfectly. So to start with, I wanted to just look through a few passages. And Joel, instead of you having to have really fast fingers as we look through some of the universal calls that God puts in our lives as we go through some of the verses in the Bible, Joel's going to chuck some of the main points up on the screen behind me as I go through them. So for many people of faith, the question of the call of God in our life, it can have all sorts of answers, and it can have all sorts of answers all at the same time. It can be a source of mystery, it can be a source of frustration, it can be confusion, it can be hope. And we have the question of, does God have a fine-tuned plan for each of us, or is God's call more general and the details are just left up to us? And when you're talking to other people about this topic, there's a really good chance that you'll find exactly the same number of answers as the number of people that you ask, because everyone will have a different take and a different experience. But there is work that God calls us to do, and it is all laid out for us in the Bible. God makes it clear again and again that we're to love others, care for the poor, and live our lives in such a way that we point to the power of the Gospels. When we contemplate what God's calling is for our lives, those universal commands are a great place to start. And they're also a really great place to come back to when we feel a bit lost and we feel a bit confused. So we're going to start with Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute, speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." So as followers of Jesus and as living sacrifices, we're to speak for those who find it hard to be heard and to speak for themselves and look after those who are less fortunate. The second one is Isaiah 1:17, where it says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow." So as a call here is to leverage your strength for those who feel like they have none and they have no hope. Bring your hope to the hopeless. In Isaiah 58:6-7, God says, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood." We see God's heart over and over again to see people taken care of, especially people who find it hard to take care of themselves. And if we really follow him, then we're following him into this. The next one is Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." We are to be affected by the way he loves us, though unworthy, and to love others, and to keep our ego in check, keep it where it belongs, under control. We'll cross over into the New Testament with Matthew 6:33-34. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So as we walk in this life and in this faith, it's so important to keep our eyes up, keep focused on what's important, and the less important, the things that aren't vital, will soon make themselves clear and fall in behind. In Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." We're to share the good news that we've received. And it shouldn't be that hard, because it is good news. And we love to share good news. It's really hard to keep good news in. So let's start with our part of the world and then let God direct us where we go next. In 1 Corinthians 7:17, it says, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them. Just as God calls them, this is the rule that I lay down in all the churches." So if God calls and places you somewhere, you live out that life that he has called you to right there in that situation. Definitely be open to change, be open to God moving you. But if you have a situation, then that's where we pour our energies and God's love. The next one is Ephesians 4:1-6. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, it's almost as if the writer knows that in community, it's not always going to be easy. We will annoy one another. We will tick each other off. But we have something that unites us. And we're called to be aware that there will be times when we need to show patience. But this is real life. And this is real community that we're called to. We're not called to do it by ourselves, where no one can tick me off because I'm by myself working away over here. We're called as a team to partner together. Philippians 2:1-4. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of those around, and to the interest of the others." And here's another community call, because people together is hard, but if we can sort of get our focus off ourselves and focus on one another, if I'm looking out for you and you're looking out for me, then things can work a lot better. In Philippians 3:12-14, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." But there's another call for our focus to press on and really look ahead and what we're driving towards. In 2 Timothy 1, it says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And I was listening to a really interesting podcast earlier in the week that was talking about some of the old school religious words and some of the words that kind of like as Christians we toss around and we think we have a good grasp on that, but they're a bit weird to the rest of the world. And the scholar that I was listening to was saying that holiness in one of the early ways that they sort of translate it and some of the richness of the original language, it's a very odd word in other languages, like in Greek, like in Hebrew, it makes a lot of sense. But then when they translate, he said, it's sort of, they find it really hard to get the depth of meaning. But he's saying in the original language that, he said that holiness can be compared to the highest standard of workmanship or craftsmanship. Like if you were making something, it's not something that's merely practical, but it's beautiful as well. And it's not something that merely looks good, but that it's something that has an amazing function. So that like when all these things come together in holiness and the way that we act and the way that we live, that is what we're called to. Hebrews 3:1. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, who share in our heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. So again, it's almost like God knows that our focus is going to drift, and drift really easily. And when I was reading through this, I always think of, if I'm teaching someone to snowboard, it's so easy to, when someone's learning something new, to focus on right here and right now. Or if I'm teaching someone to skateboard, like they're looking down immediately because the ground's there and I'm really scared of the ground. The problem is, when you do that, the most likely thing that you're going to hit is the ground. If you look ahead and look where you want to go, there's a really good chance that you'll get where you're looking. But if you get really worried about the immediate, and this is like the scripture keeps coming back to this, if we're going to look at the immediate and what's right here, we're going to get distracted from our goal and we're not going to move towards our focus. And if you don't skateboard or snowboard, which I know a lot of you probably do, but for the few that don't, imagine driving your car and just focusing on the bonnet, because you just never know when something's going to pop up and you might hit it. You're really likely to have an accident if you don't look ahead of your car. You need to focus on where you're moving to and where God's calling you, not where you're at right now. Just a couple more. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he had endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the calling here is to get rid of the stuff that slows us down, the useless, the counterproductive, the crippling, because we have something that we're moving towards. And if there's stuff that's slowing us down, then we're to be rid of it. And sometimes this is where community comes in, because we can go, hey, I think this is slowing you down. This is not the helpful thing that you think it is. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So love the Lord your God. This passage reminded me of the greatest commandment that Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind and your strength. And make sure in that commandment that you don't neglect your mind, that you do have some answers ready, that you do think through, even that you do bring some doubts in and go, hold on, if someone questions this, if this is a doubt or if this is a problem, bring some things in and work it out and have a look at the scriptures and have some reasons ready. And now have some conversations ready so that the people know that you're not someone who just goes, oh, I just like the community, so I just leave my brain at the door and I walk in and I don't know if all this stuff makes sense, but the people are really nice. Last one. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So God gives us good gifts and a good call on our lives. We need to use these to love and serve those around us. God, the creator of the universe, has called us to be part of this work to bring justice and kindness to his creation. What a joy and a privilege. The work ahead is challenging, and we're grateful that God is with us, to call us, to lead us in, to equip us, to encourage us, and to be glorified by the result, hopefully, of choosing to partner with us. And I think, hopefully, Joel was able to maybe chuck all them together on a slide. Thanks, Joel. So there's a few there. So I wanted to leave them up. I don't know if they're very readable, but I wanted to read them up for the rest of the time, because as we talk about some of the other calls that God might call us to and put on our lives, you can be absolutely sure that those calls are not going to go against whatever's in the Bible. So as I mentioned at the start, this list is by no means exhaustive. But if you're praying and seeking God and what he might be calling you into, this could be a really good place to start. So with this small list in mind, the next thing I wanted to look at together is the specific situation that the Lord has assigned to you. This call is personal, to maybe go to a people, a nation, a subculture, a demographic, a neighbourhood. Maybe you read a book, or you saw some news on a news article, you might have seen a movie, might have witnessed a need, it might have been a conversation, something specific that set a fire to some fuel that God had stacked up inside of you. And it could have been something else. You could have like been riding the train or the bus, and a call or a revelation gets placed on your heart. You could have been lucky enough to hear the audible voice of God. It could be a call that ends up being your life's vocation, or it could be a call to love in a single moment, and then you listen up for the next one. One thing is for sure, that this call will always be consistent with what we just read through, and will always be consistent with the rest of what's in here. So to help us as a family this morning dive into this topic, I do have a few volunteers with some short testimonies for us. So I'm just going to run around with the microphone so we have everything on the recording. Hopefully it works. And all right, I'll see who's closest. You got for me, sir?
Not sure how this ties into what you're talking about, but quite a few years ago now, I used to work in Frankston, and I used to spend my many a lunch break in Keswick, the Christian bookshop at the time, which was run by a lovely old bloke, Ray, who when I say old, he was old. And he was a salvo, so it was all stacked against him. And I was in there one day, and there was this young bloke looking for music that was relevant to him, and Ray's looking lost. So I made a recommendation, thought nothing of it, went back to work. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the same shop, and the same dude was there. And he's looking at me, I'm like, what? He said, I thought you were an angel. In Hebrews 13:2, it says to practice hospitality, because in doing so, you might accidentally entertain an angel. Well, some might think that that's hyperbole to get us to behave nicely. I actually read it as literally what it means. And so did this young fella, apparently. How wrong can you be?
Robin doesn't think he's wrong. She's convinced. All right, who have we got? Dennis, you're next closest.
I've got to write things down today because I forget quite easily. 40-odd years ago, we lived at Wantirna in Melbourne and heard about a community radio station starting in Castlemaine. I applied to do a gospel program and got a spot, which was the second program to go to air on that station. Each week we travelled to Castlemaine to do programs, so we decided to move up there, not realising at the time God had bigger ideas. We eventually started a full-time gospel radio station, then went to Ballarat and started another, which is still going today, some 30 years old. Then on to Melbourne to do some more test transmissions for Christian radio. I only went to year 7 at high school, but was dealing with government departments and looking after over 100 volunteers at the same time, which goes to prove that you don't have to be educated to do God's work. You only have to be available for him to use.
Thank you so much, Dennis. All right, Arthur, you're the next closest.
What time's lunch? We're going back to 1971, about 50-odd years ago. We had a display home in Heathmont, and we won 3 awards in that year, architectural awards, and everything was going well. The business was going brilliantly, and we were on top of the world. And then we had a share transaction with a public company, buying into their company. I got a contract with a pink ribbon around it and a burnt orange and black P76 with a V8. I was king. 3 months later, it was all gone. The company had taken all the money out and we were left. It was rather unpleasant at the time. And our minister suggested that we read Job. It didn't really help, I don't think, but still we read it. We were living in a house in East Doncaster, which we moved into when we were married. It wasn't finished, of course. But we lost our house and the cars, and we had to sell a block of land in North Ringwood. Had a beautiful block up there, and we were going to build our dream house. And we lost all that. And the sale from that land actually helped us purchase a two-bedroom house in Mont Albert. At that stage, Mont Albert didn't have the status that it has today. And our world has just fallen apart. I remember one night we actually borrowed money from Lenise's state savings bank account, a school account, to buy tea. But we survived, and God had other plans for us. We were involved with OMS at the time, and a missionary society, and we got told, well, we volunteered, and we went into Kingsley College, the Wesleyan College in Glenroy, and we were there for two terms, and that was brilliant, what we learnt there. We, after two terms, we graduated. We got kicked out, I don't know. No, we got asked by the Australian director of OMS, want us to go to Canberra to draw up plans and build the headquarters. They bought 40 acres at a place called Hall, just out on the Yass Road out of Canberra. So we packed up our house and moved up to Canberra. And we saw this as God's plan being used in mission work. But after about 4 months, we began to understand why God had put us up and sent us through the upset with the building company. We were not happy with some of the decisions that were made by the Australian Board of the Mission. They were actually embezzling the money out of the mission, which doesn't go down too well. We thought, well, here we go again. We've done all this. And yet this was a Christian organisation, and that made it pretty hard to take. So we resigned, of course, and got thrown out of there. But we were able to help people who were there because we'd been through it all before, and we saw the signs and were able to pick up a few bits and help people. I'm trying to cut this down a bit because I'd go on all day. But we moved back to Melbourne, to Mount Albert. We kept the house, it was rented out at the time, and then we had a whole change of direction. We didn't have any working capital, so I couldn't go in the building, so I took up trade teaching at the tech school. Just made it. I was 39 at the time, cut-off point was 40, got in there, and at the same time I was teaching about 16 years, and Judith was working 3 days a week for the Church of Christ nursing home in Murrumbina. And looking back, we can certainly see God's hand in all the decisions of life. But we thought we had it made. You know, we were king, and the P76 went very well. That was as good as a Jag. But we've certainly it's only when you look back in retrospect you can see where you've been and decisions you've made, and decisions that God's made for you. And you can appreciate. Now I've got you lot. Couldn't get any better, could it, really? We're here. I could go on all day about the way God's leading and things that we thought we were going to do, but no. And it's sometimes you've got to sit and think back, where have I come from? What decisions have I made? And what decisions have been made for me? And it's pretty exciting, really. We're still waiting. What's next? Thank you.
Thanks, Arthur. Maybe not the path that you would have chosen, but God has good plans. Definitely. All right, Luke, do you want to finish us up? Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you. Because I'm sitting up the back, I'll come up the front, and there's a few people that I might fix eyes on too. So, anyway. It might have been late in 2020-21. I was asked to share a few words of testimony. I concentrated my words about reflection of 41 years as a police officer with Victoria Police and transitioning to retirement. When talking about my thoughts as a follower of Jesus, of what may lay ahead, I use the phrase, I don't know what I'm going to do yet when I grow up. Now that I've been retired for 12 months, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And it has nothing to do with the fact that at our church prayer time last Friday, Louise jokingly said, now to leave the room, you've got to crawl through that, referring to the kids' long tube thing that lay on the ground. And yes, I commando crawled my way through the tunnel without getting stuck, might I add. I suppose I do have this quiet restlessness or wonderment, but I'm beginning to recognise that it's a restless or wonderment that may be from God. Apart from missing many of my colleagues I worked with, and like even though I try to stay in touch with them, my transition to retirement was or is seamless. I'm deeply thankful to God that this wonderment has, in my view, does not allow for a boring life. As a side, I often joke to Linda, the day I come home and complain about the price of tomatoes is the time to send me out to pasture. One of the many blessings and surprises that God has allowed me in my journey of life recently is the heaviness that I felt for some people who live on boats in our local harbours. I'd often see these people, and when I would check on our boat and would regularly chat with them, and occasionally I'd be honoured to chat with them about life and faith. With prayer and guidance offered by Linda, my wife, Jeff Lyle, Michael Carlisle, Linda and Jared Abdu, and Viv Lunt, I took a step of faith and asked these people if they were interested in being a part of a faith life group. Without a second thought, these folk agreed. The next issue was to hold a group on neutral ground, like not a church. I believe it's important for these type of people, if we aim to take the gospel to the people, not the people to the gospel. The first venue I approached welcomed me with open arms, despite me making it clear that the faith we were exploring was a Christian one. The name I chose for the group was Harbour Side Faith and Life, as it's branded. And it's branded as a part of this church. On the eve of the first meeting of the group, a member of the small harbour community was found accidentally drowned in the back of his boat. The first meeting of our group was more of a quiet memorial, prayer and thanksgiving. And following on from that, I was asked to speak at a public memorial held harbourside two Saturdays ago. I'm thankful that in my opinion, I have a full and busy life, and it mainly involves around people. The next 3 years are busy for me. In addition, I take up the president-elect and the president at Rotary Sunrise Bairnsdale involvement I've spoken about earlier. And Alan, we're going to speak offline about what you're doing too. Don't think that these things come easily for me, for they don't. And I need your prayer. I have a mild speech impediment. I have suffered anxiety. I have doubts like all of us, and I have been knocked down many times, or more times than I can count. And in closing, I quote Paul in his letter to Philippians, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We know that this verse is not talking about working for our salvation. It's the living the attributes of faith in our lives for the free gift of salvation that we have. And for me, that restlessness and wonderment is working out my salvation. So I'm reminded that we should not be tardy in the life that God has given us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Luke. Thank you, gentlemen. And this wasn't intended to be a male-heavy segment. I did call a bunch of couples, and the wives very happily pushed their willing husbands forward. So thank you very much. And if you want to hear a little bit more about Dennis's story, especially ask Barbara, because Barbara goes into quite a bit of detail, and she's very proud of her man. And also proud of how God used them. And it's really special. So thanks so much. So whether it's applying for a certain position, whether it's standing in a bookshop and having the opportunity to talk to somebody, you never know where God will use you. Whether it's a construction company there where things really don't seem to go to plan, but God is in control and God is still calling the shots in your life. So there's just a few stories of obedience and availability. And God wants to use us. He wants to use you. He wants to use your whole life, your moments, to show his love to his creation and to bring people to himself. In the start of Romans, it says, in Romans 12, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And as I was reading a little bit in the study Bible, and I jumped into the notes, and where it like referenced spiritual act of worship, it said not merely ritual activity, but the involvement of hearing, of your mind, and of your will. And I think so often these days when we can think of worship, we can think of songs and things that move us emotionally, but it's not that ritual activity. But it's, an involvement of your heart and mind and your will. One of the things that sets apart the stories and the testimonies that inspire us is that his people were listening. And in our network group recently, we've been going through John. And in chapter 10, it says, and I'll just read this. I'll just sort of go down a little bit. It says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." And when we're looking for what God might want to do with our lives, knowing the voice of Jesus is so important. And one of the helpful pieces of advice that I received as a younger Christian, hoping to hear and hoping to, hoping to be steered into something in particular, some of the advice I received is that when you get some prompting of the Spirit or you feel something that you think might be God, you pray about it and then set it aside and push it away. And then if that comes back, you pray about it and you push it aside. And if it is God and not just our mind just, feeding us things, because, life is busy and there's all sorts of things going up. If it comes back again and again, if it comes up on our list, it's time to act. One key part of that advice is that we know his voice, that we can turn down the distractions, be seeking him, put ourselves in a position where we're set up to hear. C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone. And you don't want you to get yourself in a position where God requires a megaphone to issue a call on your life, because it won't be enjoyable. It will be the leading of God, but if we can be set up to hear his voice and he only has to whisper to us, we're going to be able to follow a lot quicker. So let's be a people who are tuned in and ready to hear. Let's be ready to work with the instructions that we have already. Let's be at work with what makes sense, with what we're gifted in. I flicked over to the wrong bit. But the other part of Romans chapter 12 that I wanted to dig into a little bit, where it says in verse 4, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And I just love the simplicity of that, where God is like, look, these are the gifts that I've poured out on these people. So use what you're gifted in. And if there's other calls that come in, let's be ready to act to those. But we have things that we can do in the meantime while we're waiting for the next thing. So let's be a people let's also be a people that are ready to be called into situations that on paper make no sense. I'm sure Dennis had no idea where he was going to be called, and on paper he would think that maybe wasn't what God was going to do with his life. And I was thinking back through the Old Testament and the New, the people that God has used. I mean, do you think Moses on paper made sense as a person to send back to Israel? I'm sure Moses was like, yeah, God, but there's a dead body back there, and that's a... How about you send me somewhere else? Like, I might be available, but maybe somewhere else might be better. I mean, if we think about Paul, he seems like the perfectly trained missionary to the Jews. He's a Pharisee. He's sort of good to go. He's encountered Jesus. He's ready to go toe-to-toe with the Jews. And God sends him to the Gentiles and does something incredible with a life that is available. There's also a really good chance, depending on what we've been up to, that God is calling us to rest. And God is calling us to take a beat and take a little while and rest and recuperate before the next thing. Or he might be letting you know that you've had enough rest and it's time to get up and start connecting with people again. He's always calling us to do something. And he might be calling us to operate in our gifting. But there's also the possibility that he might be ready to stretch us and call us in a situation that seems completely different to our gifting or our training. And I was talking to a friend recently and she was like, yeah, but I'm really good at these things and these are the ways that God has equipped me in the past and I should be like going into this thing. And there was all these other opportunities that are opening up. And she's like, oh, but God, like, it makes so much more sense. I can just imagine God going, I'm the God who creates galaxies. Do you think that you can trust me with this situation? Do you think you can trust me with your life in a situation that I might want to put you in? Because I tell you, that's your life and the different situations are a lot less complex than creating a galaxy. If you're unsure, try some doors. You really might be amazed at what opens up. Prayerfully try some doors. It's amazing that what God might do with a life that's available. And it's also incredible the sense of clarity we get when we do try some doors. And one of the things I wanted to share with a little bit of with Holly and my journey is I don't know if everybody knows this, but as we were dating and engaged, we talked about the idea of foster care and how that was an idea that both of us had of something that we wanted to do with our life. Hey, Eli. And this was something that we were both passionate about. We didn't really know where it came from. I didn't know it was a God thing, but I just thought, hey, it seems like a good idea to, you know, because we like the idea of having a couple of kids, but also making a place available for more people to come and for kids whose parents were unable to look after them for whatever reason to be able to show love and to show hospitality and to feed and to clothe and to just provide for some needs. And I'm sure there's other people here who have done that too. But this was a situation for us where we prayed about it and we tried some doors. And it's amazing the certainty that you feel of God's call on your life. The more you go in, and I know for other people that they have tried this exact same thing and they've gone, you know what, I think God's calling us to something else. But for us, this was the one thing that we're like, there's lots of things in life that we're unsure of, but we know for this particular situation, this is what God has for us right now. And I would encourage you, if you have time and if you have a house and if you have a little bit of extra food that you could share with someone, then that you really consider doing some foster care or getting involved in a situation like that, because it is an incredible opportunity, whether it's respite and supporting other full-time foster carers that just need a weekend, or what sort of thing it looks like. But I'd really encourage us as a body of believers to think about whether that might be something that God would call us into. Because it is incredible what God could do with a life that's available. And it's a really good question to ask. What might God do with a life that is a living sacrifice that is available and ready to go. So let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you so much that you want to use us and that you want us involved, Lord, with your plan to spread the good news, Lord, to bring people to yourself, Lord, to care for people who need help, to care for the powerless, and Lord, to bring justice and to bring mercy, and Lord, to look after one another as a community. Lord, we want to thank you for all, like, all the different things that we find in this good book. And I just want to ask, Lord, for the situations where you might be wanting to call us into situations that on paper don't make any sense. I just pray that you would make clear to us where you're leading us. Lord, that you would find people that are ready to listen and, Lord, ready to act. And I just pray, Lord, that you would do something good with our lives and that you would find us truly available. In Jesus' name.